I want to talk about a project that involves improving fruit set and yield in high bush blueberry, and we're looking at that through two main methods, and that one of those is increasing the stocking density of honeybee hives, and the other is introducing supplemental bumblebees in addition to our honeybee hives. So to start with, I just want to give a little bit of background information on the production region. So I'm at Washington State, primarily Western Washington, and in Western Washington, or in the Pacific Northwest in general, the commercial pollinator for high bush blueberry, for northern high bush blueberry, is primarily honeybees, and I'll talk a little bit why that kind of complicates pollination. But in looking at the region, Washington is an important player in blueberry production, producing approximately 47 million kilograms of berries in 2015, with a value of approximately 150 million. So it's an important agricultural crop. And because of that, it's a cause for concern that we see reports of poor pollination and fruit set, limiting yield. This is particularly Western Washington, and there are a couple of reasons why we think that's the case and why increasing the hive density may help with that. And part of that is this DeVetter et al. Paper published in 2016, where they found that honeybee visitation rates in Western Washington were below the recommended guideline for bees per bush per minute. That's pollinating bees on the bush per minute, which is approximately 4 to 6 bees. And so that kind of, before I jump into why that is important, I want to talk a little bit about the pollinator. And so the Italian honeybee is the most common subspecies for commercial pollination, Apis mellifera ligustica. And blueberries are native to North America, and honeybees are not. And that means that there is some coevolution that is being missed out on here, where honeybees are not not always an effective pollinator for blueberries. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that honeybees lack buzz pollination. That's that flexing of the flight muscles to vibrate the pollen or the flower and cause this dehiscence of the pollen. Also, honeybees have a shorter average tongue length than bumblebees, and this can make it difficult for honeybees to access nectar rewards, and I'll show a little bit of why that's important when I talk a little bit about the floral morphology. In addition to those points, honeybees have a reduced foraging activity under certain weather conditions. And that includes air temperatures below 12 degrees Celsius, wind speeds over 19 kilometers per hour, and then precipitation. And for any of you who are familiar with Western Washington, these are conditions that are common during that springtime when our blueberries are flowering. And so that's part of this problem. So in talking about flower features, you can see here that the flower is tubular in shape. That tube is referred to as the corolla, and it's fused petals. And the opening of the corolla can be relatively small, and that can cause complications for the honeybees trying to enter the flower, which is important considering their lack of buzz pollination and shorter average tongue length. In addition to that, those flower features, we also see is a relatively short bloom window in some high bush blueberry, 7 to 12 days under ideal conditions, as few as 5 in less favorable conditions. And when you're pairing that with weather conditions that may not be ideal for foraging, you can really have a complication in getting plants pollinated. And so that kind of, just to sum up some of these pollination issues, the floral morphology, the shape of the flower is definitely playing a role in the accessibility to honeybees. And that kind of ties in with that lack of coevolution between honeybees and vaccinium species. We're also looking at the weather conditions and how when the weather conditions are pairing up with honeybee foraging activity, we can have reduced pollination. And then in addition to these, there are some other factors that are involved with honeybees, particularly issues surrounding poor hive health. So pathogens, other pests like varroa, the varroa mite, stress from travel or from poor nutrition can all play a role. And so it's important that we're considering that as we look at the hives that are being placed. And then just before I move on to some of the objectives of this project, the recommended honeybee stocking density is around 10 hives per hectare in Highbush Blueberry. So in looking at the objectives for this project, we looked at the recommended stocking density of 10 hives per hectare and then an increased density of 20 hives per hectare. In addition to that component, we also looked at supplementing bumblebees. And I want to talk a little bit more about that at the end of the project. There were complications with the bumblebee portion of this project, and I'll cover that more towards the end, but I'm not going to talk about the bumblebee portion in the data section of the presentation. So come find me afterwards if you have other questions about that. So just in the setup of this project, we had 6 commercial sites in Western Washington in 2016 and 2017. And these sites were split into 2 categories, so 3 sites of the high hive density of 20 hives per hectare and 3 sites of the recommended rate, which is that 10 hives per hectare. These were all mature Duke plantings, and the sites were separated by approximately 2 kilometers or more, and that was just to reduce the likelihood that the bees that were visiting our flowers were not from another site that we were stocking with a higher density. So in looking at the methods, one of the most important metrics in this project was looking at bee visitation. And so we were only looking at legitimate visits, so pollinating visits, not counting nectar robbing where the bees are kind of entering the flower through the backside, only legitimate visits. And we looked at, we observed visits of bees to flowers during these kind of ideal foraging times. So between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., when the temperature was above 12 degrees Celsius, we did not observe observations in rainy conditions or windy conditions. And then we split these sites kind of into 3 rows at each site and then 10 plants per row separated by about 10 meters. And those were our observation plants. And those observation plants, each site visit, which there were 3 per site on separate days, we observed blueberries for 3 one-minute intervals, and that made up that visitation that we'll see more in the next few slides. In addition to visitation, we looked at hive strength, and we evaluated that by watching the incoming bees at a hive for 5 one-minute intervals before and after doing our observation, our visitation observations. So in addition to the hive strength and the pollinator visitation, we also looked at fruit set, estimated yield, berry size, berry firmness, and then the seed number per berry. And so just kind of jumping into some of the results for this project, we saw uniform hive strength across our sites. And this was something that we expected. Our sites were all stocked by the same beekeeper, and then contractual obligations made it so that most of these hives were being opened and being looked at before they were placed, and the bees per frame and the frames in the hives were all the same going in. And so uniform brood strength and hive strength across the board. We also saw increased visitation, significantly increased between the high density and the recommended density. For both years, both 2016 and 2017. Also of note is the fact that regardless of the significant increase in visitation in both years, we didn't see that recommended bees per bush per minute still. If you recall, that was 4 to 6 bees per minute per bush, and at the top of the line, we're only seeing between 2 and 2.5 bees per minute per bush. So we're still well below that recommended density of bees. We also did not see a significant increase in fruit set. And that was regardless of year or site. We did not see fruit set significantly increased. We also did not see the fruit firmness increased in high density sites. And this was something that we were looking at because of the fact that we were going to be evaluating the seed number per berry and the potential relationship between firmness and seed number. We did not see that. We did see increased seed number per berry, and we saw increased berry weight, significantly increased in both years, and then estimated yield that was increased in the high-density stocking rate sites. So just to kind of sum up these conclusions, pollination conditions in 2016 were generally better than 2017. This was something that didn't end up playing out in our visitations. Back at that slide, there wasn't a significant difference between years. But something to note, moving forward, this has been something that's been important with our pollination work in the past. Higher hive density sites had increased berry size, and to a lesser degree, that increased yield. We didn't see the increase in fruit set, and so in looking at that, I think that we can assume that our increase in visitation was resulting in an increase in seed number. And there have been other studies that have shown that there's a relationship between the seed number and berry weight. And so this increased berry weight that we also saw is likely playing at least a partial role in our increased yield. And then finally, just kind of a point of interest, we didn't set this project up to evaluate the distribution of the hives within a field, but something that we observed was a potentially positive relationship between the proximity of hives and the fruit set and yield. And so looking at each of our observation plants and their exact distance to their nearest hives, what we saw was this positive relationship. The closer the hives were, the higher the fruit set and the estimated yield was. So that's something that definitely merits looking at in the future. Before I move on to some of those future projections, just a brief note on the bumblebees. So bumblebees are a more effective pollinator of blueberries. That's been demonstrated. There are a number of reasons why we don't typically use them in the Northwest, and one of In developing this study, it was important to us to use native bees. Bombus vosnesensky was the species that we used. In using that bee, there's the complication that sourcing is difficult. And we had a source in the first year. The timing was difficult because these were wild-caught bees that were reared in captivity. And by the time that the colony strength was at a place where they could be placed in the field, we were then looking at already being at 50 to 100% full bloom in some of our later cultivars of blueberry. So that was problematic in the first year. In the second year, our source was no longer available, and we weren't able to find a source for native bees in our area. And so that's where the complications in the bumblebee portion of the project come from. And that kind of ties into some of these conclusions, the first being that while bumblebees are a more effective pollinator, for them to be able to be commercially viable in the Northwest, there needs to be sourcing, consistent sourcing that is affordable and is going to work for the growers for that research to really be viable moving forward. Also, what impact, if any, does the distribution of hives in the field have on pollination? This is particularly important based on some of those observations that we made and the fact that in blueberry fields, generally hives are congregated in one or two general areas in the field, and then just the assumptions made that they fly 3 to 5 miles and so they'll get around. And so that's something that definitely we think there'd be value in looking at in the future. And then also, do attractants and pheromones increase visitation? This is something that there are many of our growers that are already applying these attractants and pheromones, and an evaluation of their effectiveness would be important. In closing, just like to thank Dr. DeVetter and the Small Fruit Lab, our funding sources, and the grower collaborators that provided time and space for these projects. Thank you. The question was, what would we do if we wanted to increase fruit set? Yeah, that's a great question. And that was kind of the crux of this project, was looking at how we could increase fruit set. And our assumption was that kind of the bottleneck in production was pollination, especially considering the weather conditions in our area. And so I think in moving forward, looking at sourcing these bumblebees and trying to use supplemental bumblebees, also further increasing the stocking density, studies looking at that definitely could play a role in improving fruit set.